Hello.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Welcome to Candid Camera.
Or something. Well, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the tens of people that have been listening to us so far. We very much appreciate it.
We do. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Hey, hopefully your parents are always your biggest fans first, so it's fitting.
As they should be.
Anywho, what do we have to talk about today?
Today, we're going to talk about something that I've never heard of before called flywheel resistance training.
Excellent.
And
it sounds like a fishing lure. Tell me more.
Oh, yes. And we're going to talk about doing interset static stretching.
Okay, I know what static stretching is. What's with the insect part?
Interset.
So bugs within bugs. Continue.
In between sets. So I have my set, and then during my rest period, I'm going to stretch, and then I'm going to exercise again.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting because I have been told by people
not to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I forget what it is they said, but they were like, don't do static stretching in between. You're going to mess up your something, something. Yeah. Probably not gains. I mean, if anybody saw
me. Pull a muscle.
Like, you ain't gaining nothing, kid. Sorry. So I will be interested to see if this says that I can.
Yes.
Not.
Yes.
Should you or should you not intersect your stretching? Poll to the listeners, everybody out there, who does this? Do you stretch in between sets? Do you not stretch? Do you find yourself resting too long because you're in a stretch and it feels really good? And then the question becomes, how long is too long of a rest? These are questions I do not know the answers to.
'Tis true. But we are going to look at a study that'll talk about it.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You are always very prepared, and I appreciate that about you.
Oh, thank you.
So, with that, we have a couple definitions. Nope, we just have one.
Just kidding.
We have one definition. It is flywheel resistance training, which is a method of strength training where exercises are performed with overloading the eccentric part of the movement rather than the concentric. I know what those words mean, but tell the people out there what eccentric and concentric mean.
So eccentric is whenever the muscle is extending, and concentric is whenever it is concentrating, right? Or compressing is another C word you can think of, or constricting, another C word that you could compare it to. But I think the flywheel is so interesting. I've never heard of this before. So, of course.
Me either.
Whenever you don't know what something is, you either A, Google it, or B, YouTube,
Google it.
YouTube it. So I did YouTube it.
So does it make me old that most of the time I Google something and then I just click on the video search tab and then I get to YouTube?
I don't know.
Always do that. Like sometimes I will go to YouTube. If I know a video, I'm going to show somebody a video from YouTube, like I will go to YouTube and then search for it. But I do. I just start with Google because it's all in one place and then I can just find it from there. So you went to the YouTube and what did he tell you?
YouTube told me that it actually uses a flywheel. So there's this platform that you connect it almost looks like a very thin weight plate, and that's your flywheel.
Okay.
And it's on an axis that can spin it.
Okay.
And then in the machine, there is it's not a rope, but kind of like a seatbelt material strap.
A cable strap.
Yes.
Apparatus thing. Okay.
And then you connect it to a harness, which you put on your body.
A hip bone.
You put it on like your chest and your hips.
To your butt bone.
Yes. And then
you go skydiving because you're in a harness.
Yes. Once you're done skydiving, you can do these really cool squats or lunges or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the faster you move, the faster the flywheel moves, right? Mm-hmm. So the faster the flywheel moves, the more resistance it provides.
Oh, is it kind of like the old rowing machines?
Yeah.
Oh.
So the more power you put into it, the more power it gives back to you.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love it. Huh. It's very cool. So we're going to learn about what these people did with the flywheel. Let's talk about the paper. Are you ready?
Did they fly away?
Of course they did.
Perfect. Let's dive into it.
Okay. So this is by Nakamura, Ikizu, Sato, Yahata, Kiyono, Yoshida, Takeuchi, and Nunez. Please forgive me if I pronounced your name incorrectly. I did my best. I think I did a pretty good job. So the title of the paper is Effects of Adding Interset Static Stretching to Flywheel Resistance Training on Flexibility, Muscular Strength, and Regional Hypertrophy in Young Men. It was published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health in 2021.
Excellent.
Yes. The purpose of this study is to look at the effects of static stretching between sets for resistance training while using the flywheel. I'm excited to hear about it.
I like that they specified static stretching because you'll see a lot of people doing like where you stand, but you kind of turn your upper body to the left and, kind of kick your right heel out so that and then you go the other way.
Oh yeah. Like dynamic stretching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Movement stretching. You see a lot of people kind of doing that kind of motion. So I like that they specified, although I might have been interested had they looked at both.
Oh, I would have been interested regardless.
But this is how my mind works. All the questions.
The specification is good.
So what did they do? How did they do this? Well, each participant's legs were randomly selected to the control side or the static stretching side. So.
Interesting.
Eeny, meeny, miny, lefty. You're going to have to stand over here on this side of the room. Righty, you're in the other group. You're going to have to go stand over there. Torso, we'll work it out. I don't know, but that's what needs to happen.
Yep.
Y'all need to go into sensory deprivation chambers so that you don't get to hear what the other's answers are. Half of the participants used their dominant or non-dominant leg for static stretching. So that sounds to me more like the eeny, meeny, miny, lefty.
Yep.
All participants then performed a squat with a flywheel training machine 2 times a week for 5 weeks. Measurements included knee ROM, range of motion, lower limb strength with a leg press, 1 rep max, isometric knee extension for peak torque, and an ultrasound measuring the thickness of the leg muscles. These were taken on the week prior to training and the week after training. Stretching exercises were aimed to stretch the extensor muscles or the quads. In each session, 3 sets of 10 repetitions of the parallel squat exercise, which was 30 reps in total, were performed with 180-second rest between sets. So they had 3 sets of 10 reps. In between those sets, they had 180 seconds to stretch rest. The static stretch was done 2 sets of 30 seconds with a 30-second break in between. So they did 10 squats. And then in their 180-second rest, they would do 30 seconds of stretching their quad, and then 30-second break, 30 seconds of stretching their quad, and then a 30-second break, and then they would do 10 more reps and do the whole thing again. Accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I like how specific they were in the paper about their parameters for the sets and repetitions and the rest. And just kudos to the researchers on that. I like that. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did they measure the isometric knee extension for peak torque?
There is a machine that does that.
Really?
Yes.
How does it work?
So it's kind of hard to explain, but the machine that I'm thinking of is a chair, and
my favorite machine,
right?
The chair. Does it like turn around real slow so you can pet a cat like a evil genius? Some sort of creepy villain monster machine chair?
No.
Oh.
So it has a leg piece. So you can either put it in front of the legs or behind the legs for an extension.
I'm sorry, are we speaking human legs or chair legs?
Human legs.
Okay. I had to ask because where my mind went was a weird picture.
That is an odd picture, yes.
You have a leg piece, but it moves. I don't know. Continue.
Yes. And then it will measure the force that you put on the arm, regardless of which direction that you're pushing and pulling.
Okay.
Pushing or pulling.
So you're essentially sitting down and you lift your foot up. Your shin is going from vertical to horizontal.
Yes.
So you're lifting it up and it's measuring the force with which you can lift it up. And then you put it back down and it measures the force with which you put it back down.
Yep.
Cool.
And it doesn't really move.
What information does that tell us?
It gives us their peak torque strength. I mean, it tells us how strong the muscle can move isometrically. Or okay. How much force it can do isometrically.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not measuring the amount of angle the knee can move or something like that.
No. Okay. That would be a goniometer.
Of course there's a chair machine for that too.
Oh, it's not a chair. It's just, it kind of looks like a protractor.
Huh.
But it measures joint angles. There were 16 untrained college males from Japan in this study.
16?
Yeah. Not very many, but
no.
16 is pretty good because then you can evenly distribute the groups.
And the legs.
Oh, true.
All the left legs on this side of the room, all the right legs go over here.
There was a significant difference pre to post with knee flexion in the static stretching group, but not in the control group. That makes sense.
How?
Well, when you stretch, you increase your range of motion.
Ah, so.
So the people that didn't stretch or exercise for that matter did not increase their range of motion.
So most people's knees don't really bend up. So, in theory, what we're talking about is if you're standing and you lift your right foot up and you reach down and grab your ankle and you're doing a quad stretch, standing mm-hmm. quad stretch, maybe you get closer, you get your heel closer to your butt cheek?
Yes.
Okay.
This change in the knee flexion for static stretching group was significantly higher than the control group as well. So,
okay.
That also makes sense. The isometric peak torque strength for the knee extension was significantly higher in both groups of the control group and the stretching group, which I just realized the control group did exercise because that was the other leg. I got confused for a moment. There's my correction.
So did each person... Yeah, so each person had a stretch leg and a no stretch leg.
Correct.
And since you're doing a squat, you're exercising both legs anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm following this one.
Very good. So this change was significantly higher for the static stretching group. The leg press had significant increases from pre to post in both groups. No significant difference between the groups. So for muscle size, there was no difference found between the groups either.
But to be fair, it was twice a week for 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very long.
Unless you're really repping them out, even then, you're probably not going to see much of a change.
I agree.
I mean, I know I wouldn't.
Not many people would.
Chicken legs. Not going to see much of a change. A lot of their results make sense. It was twice a week for 5 weeks. We're not talking five times a week for 10 weeks or anything like that. So they might have been lopsided. And we don't really want one leg bigger than the other.
Nope.
I mean, you kind of get it a little just because your dominant side is your stronger side. But we definitely don't want like one Hulk leg.
This is my strong leg.
Yeah. We don't need a Hulk leg and then a tiny owl leg. Dude, bro, you just skipped leg day on one side? What is that? So I also kind of get why they chose 5 weeks. Did they go into any sort of detail about why they chose the parameters that they chose? Do you remember?
No, I don't think that. You're talking about like the time frame and everything, right?
Yeah, like if they said we want to do 5 weeks because we only have the lab for 5 weeks, I don't know.
No, they didn't really specify that information, but I imagine the 2 times a week is just because that's what's recommended as a minimum of 2 times a week for strength training. So what do you take with these results?
It really kind of just sounds like if you stretch, it increases your torque. So you maybe have a little bit more power, which could be a good thing. Especially if you're doing this type of regular strength training, say 10 reps, 3 sets, by the end of the 3rd set, you're supposed to go heavy enough to where that's really hard and it's really a struggle, but maybe stretching in between will help you get through it a little bit easier. So people might not lose form quite as much. And when you lose form, that's when we set ourselves up for injury, which we don't want. So that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Or it also kind of sounds like it's hard to tell. Like there's no significant increase in your muscle size, your muscle gain. So does that tell us that stretching versus not stretching doesn't matter for your gains? Or does that just tell us they only did it for 5 weeks, so it wasn't long enough to really have a significant grant, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's still some things that you could posit from their results, but this is kind of, you know, why we decided to do this, is it brings up all of these questions and these critical thinking of not just accepting the information as is, but letting it be an inspiration or some sort of a catalyst to lead you to your own hypothesis. What's your question that you want to answer? What's a study you might want to do that this gives you an idea for, possibly? And I think this kind, you know, there's all kinds of scholarly scrutiny and rigmarole that these things have to go through. But us, especially me, being a normie in terms of your science, exercise science world, asking these sorts of questions and really trying to get into, it's not trying to tear anybody down or say that they did anything wrong. It's just furthering the conversation. Mm-hmm. We get better by having these kinds of discussions. It's not about disagreeing. It's not about pointing out somebody else's faults or what they did wrong. It's just, hey, that's interesting. Did you think about this? And if you did think about it and chose to ignore it, let's talk about that. And that's just how we learn and grow and get better.
Back to the paper.
Fine. What does it tell you in your expert opinion?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but
more than I am.
I think that the increase of range of motion, even though it makes sense, would be beneficial to do static stretching in between sets, but I also, so it did increase strength, but it just didn't increase muscle size. So I wonder if the study was longer, if it would increase muscle size as well. But the strength gains I thought was really interesting. Because, I mean, yes, that both legs increased in strength, but the static stretching side increased strength a little more, it looked like.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Later.